Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
6-7 The Fan, you're listening to us on your car radio, or maybe you got an old radio just sits in your house, you turn that thing on, or you're probably more likely listening via an app, Odyssey, iHeart, or you're listening to the podcast. We're time travelers. You're listening to us 2 hours from now. Don't ask how we do it, B. Modern technology. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you get your podcasts. You can hang with us on the YouTube stream, 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us on Monumental Sports Network. Wherever you get the content, we are there. Very excited right now to jump on the Rude, R-U-U-D, the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our boy, Mr. John Talty from CBS Sports. John, how are you, man? What's going on?
Great. Appreciate you guys having me on again.
Yeah, dude, cool, man. We appreciate you coming on. Obviously, this is a busy time as college football gets down the stretch here. Let's start with the playoff rankings that came out last night. Did anything really surprise you? Do you think anybody got screwed or got a favor done?
I don't know about surprise. I certainly think the ones that seemed to get the most attention were, I think, Alabama jumping Notre Dame, which seemed to put Notre Dame a little bit more in play to possibly miss the playoff. I thought that was notable. Texas A&M dropping to 7, I thought was interesting after only one loss, including falling behind Ole Miss, which of course just lost their coach Lane Kiffin to LSU. And then I think, you know, Texas jumping Vanderbilt, I thought was interesting given that, they do have a win over Vanderbilt, but, you know, one extra loss. Vanderbilt has been campaigning a lot to try to be in the mix after a 10-2 season in the SEC, and it looks like their path to making it at this point is all but impossible. So those are the ones that kind of jumped out to me. I think that we are trending toward a situation where if Alabama loses in the SEC championship this weekend against Georgia, the really big question is going to be, does that knock them out, or even with a third loss, would they still make the playoff? So that's something I think to keep an eye on.
A thing we're looking at here in this area, Virginia is playing against Duke. Duke is about to have 5 losses.
7-5.
And if Duke happens to beat Virginia, is there a possibility that you won't see an ACC team in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
does an ACC team have to get in?
It does not. Is the doomsday scenario, and that was increased last night by the fact that James Madison is now included in the top 25. There is not, at least from how I read the situation, a realistic path for Duke at this point to be in the top 25. So it's about the top-ranked conference champion. So if James Madison wins this weekend and wins their conference championship, they're already ranked in the top 25. There's no reason to believe that they would now fall out of the top 25 after winning their conference champion. If Duke beats UVA, it's not going to be in the top 25 from everything I understand. So it would be ranked below James Madison, which means you would have a James Madison team make it. You'll have the winner of Tulane versus North Texas in the American Conference Championship make it, and you will not have an ACC team in the college football playoff, which is just the absolute doomsday scenario for ACC, and especially with Commissioner Jim Phillips.
Yeah, man. They got to redo that tiebreak scenario. I don't know what they're doing, but that is a train wreck, dude. I wanted to circle back to what you mentioned about Bama. So Bama already beat Georgia head-to-head. If Bama loses this week, how realistic is it you think they fall out and taking their spot, like Notre Dame and Texas?
I don't think they will fall out, to be honest with you. I think that they will stay in. I just think that that's going to be, if they lose to Georgia, and it's kind of interesting, but they have an incredible track record of beating Georgia in Atlanta. I've witnessed multiple of those games, including the famous Tua 2nd-and-26. Like, Georgia seems to be cursed playing Alabama in the SEC championship. So we'll see what happens. It's certainly by no means a guarantee Alabama's going to lose that game. As you said, they already beat Georgia earlier this season. But in this scenario in which they lose, I think it is actually unlikely that they drop out, because I think it's a precedent-setting move where, especially SEC, Big Ten, you know, these bigger conferences that control the future playoff format, you do not want a team that's playing in a conference championship game being penalized over teams that are not playing this weekend. And so those conference championship games mean a lot. There's open questions about whether they will continue, but the surest way for conference championship games to go away is a team like Alabama missing the playoff if they lose this game because they had to play in a conference championship. So I think that's unlikely. I think Alabama, even with a loss, will make the playoff. Now, margin of defeat, assuming they lose, would be a factor. I mean, if they lose 50-0, all bets are off, right? But if it's the kind of close game we expect between these two teams, I would still expect Alabama to make the playoff.
Okay. So Texas, I think, is out. Do you see that any other way? It's a very creative argument Sark is trying to make, that, like, hey, man, if you don't put us in, why are teams going to schedule anybody in non-conference? Because he wants to make it all about the loss to Ohio State. I counter with, don't lose to Florida.
And that's the reason why they will not make the playoff. It's not about the Ohio State loss. It's about the Florida loss. And, you know, the committee chairman, Hunter Yurecek, essentially made that point last night in a teleconference with, you know, reporters, that's the reason why they would not make the playoff. I don't see a path for them. I've asked some people about it last night and today. I don't see a reasonable path. It's just too crowded, I think, at this point for them to be able to get in, especially when you have a 10-2 Miami team right there as well. You've got BYU, which is having to play in the Big 12 championship. They are kind of right there ahead of them as well. So I don't see it as realistic at this point. But what's really interesting, and what I think is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out over the next year or so, is that everything that Steve Sarkisian is now arguing for is exactly why the Big Ten has been pushing for automatic qualifiers. Because their point for more than a year has been, if it's just about how many wins and losses you have, there's no incentive to schedule tough. And there's no incentive, especially if you schedule tough non-conference games. And so they foresaw this issue. Of course, automatic qualifiers were very unpopular, I think, with the average fan, were unpopular with different conferences. Ultimately, the SEC did not want to go down that path, and we're stuck in this kind of current limbo that we're in as to whether the playoff will expand or not and what that looks like. But that was the Big Ten's argument, and it'll be interesting to see whether that argument gains any steam now that people are realizing, yeah, there's not a lot of incentive for me to schedule tough outside of my own conference games.
Talking with our friend John Talty here.
Guarantee wins. That's what you need.
Yeah, man. National College Sports Reporter for CBS Sports. You can give him a follow at JTalty, T-A-L-T-Y. John, kind enough to join us via the Rude Guest Hotline. I think the biggest debate that will end up shaking out, I think BYU is going to get smoked again by Texas Tech, so I think that'll kick BYU out, kind of take care of that on its own. Is Miami going to lose out to Notre Dame even though they beat them head-to-head?
I think that's the one that's really interesting. I know how I personally feel, which is that Miami should be in over Notre Dame if it comes down to those two teams. But it would take, and I'm not saying it's impossible, I think it is possible, but it would take a reversal of, 5 weeks of them doing these things in which they have consistently ranked Notre Dame ahead of Miami despite that head-to-head win. That's not to say, again, that it's impossible, but it almost, and this is something that I think is getting increasingly talked about right now, that the fact that there are weekly rankings probably does not benefit anyone except ESPN. I get why they want it to be, and it's great TV, and it gives, you know, people like us something to talk about. But it almost boxes the committee into these corners at times. That happened last year, too, where, you know, the committee chair at the time, Ward Manuel, said that teams that didn't play conference championship weekend couldn't move up. That was kind of shocking to people. This year, they've kind of backed off that and said, actually, there's still some potential for movement, which at least leaves the possibility of Miami jumping Notre Dame in play. But we've consistently seen Notre Dame be ranked ahead of them. I don't know what changes this weekend to flip it, except maybe they have them right next to each other and say, all right, now that they're right next to each other, this team did beat the other one head-to-head, let's flip them. But that would be controversial at this point, and certainly would lead to a lot of frustration from the Notre Dame camp.
But I understand they beat them head-to-head, and we had this discussion earlier. But when you look at the strength of schedule and how they played since that game, I can see Notre Dame being ahead of them, although they are not back at the head-to-head match. You know, I mean, it happened so early, a lot of things could have transpired since then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
For sure. And I think what, you know, makes this whole thing kind of crazy is that, like, you can argue it any different way, and there's really no consistency in kind of the approach year to year. And I think part of that is because there's a very human element to this, right? Like, the people who are on the committee change year to year. There's different people coming in, different people coming out. They, even though they have a criteria to go off of, it's natural that humans are going to maybe prioritize some things over others. And so I think what makes it frustrating for people is that, you know, sometimes you think it's this, and then, you know, this year it might be something else that's being emphasized. We have new criteria added to the mix this year, which is supposed to put a greater emphasis on, you know, strength of record, strength of schedule. I don't know that that has fully shown through in how they've been ranked, maybe a little bit more than what we've seen in the past. But to your point, I absolutely think you can make an argument for Notre Dame, but I think you can make an argument for Miami. And that's inherently the challenge of this selection committee, is that you know, they took away the power away from computers. Nobody likes computers deciding this stuff in the BCS era. So they've given it to a collection of human beings who make decisions that don't always make sense.
Ain't that the truth? You know what's crazy, and maybe this is what they want? Like, we're so caught up with who's going to get in. Nobody's talking about who's going to win. Like, do you think Ohio State and Indiana are just clearly better than everybody? The top four, the teams that would get byes, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech. But Ohio State and Indiana play each other this weekend. Now, I think if it's just a good, tight game, I personally don't think either of those teams will get bumped out. But, like, if there's an ass-kicking, if Indiana drops 60 on the Buckeyes or something, I think that could flip. What do you make of that huge matchup this weekend?
You know what's interesting is I'm actually going to be at that game, leaving for Indiana in a day or so here. And I feel like there's no buzz about that game. It's kind of
zero.
Crazy to me, to your point. Like, it's one versus two. These are, in my opinion, the clear two best teams we've seen all season long. You've got, I think, two of the best quarterbacks by far in Julian Say and Fernando Mendoza. I think that, you know, I know Diego Pavia is getting a lot of buzz right now, but I think if one of those guys goes off and wins the Big Ten championship, I think that guy will be your Heisman. Certainly, it will probably get my Heisman vote. But it just seems like there's no stakes to it whatsoever because, like you said, it's all about who's going to get in, who's going to get that last spot. No one seems to care about who's getting byes at this point. No one seems to care who's going to win. It's just only about who gets in that last spot, which is why, you know, I've been going to SEC championship games for probably a decade. This is a decade plus. First one I've missed in a decade because we thought the Big Ten game would be the bigger deal. And now it seems like it's flipped and the SEC one is the one that has stakes and Big Ten is going to be late at night and no one's going to really seem to care, which is just absolutely crazy to me because it could be the best game we've seen all season so far.
Right. It's crazy. Well, if nobody's talking about the Big Ten title game and nobody's talking about kind of the heavyweights in the college football playoff, what everyone is talking about is Lane Kiffin. Obviously, you know, the guy creates sideshows wherever he goes. I understand the money involved here. Honestly, I kind of think that he was going to LSU as soon as they fired Brian Kelly.
When they told him $91 million, he was going.
But you had some reporting, and I appreciate this, that you had some reporting that showed Lane tried to paint his own picture of how the team desperately wanted him to stay and that, you know, blaming the administration for not letting him stay and coach them. And you've kind of reported that that's BS. Tell us, give us the 30,000-foot view of everything that transpired between Ole Miss and LSU.
Yeah, I think, you know, someone had put this to me recently, and it seemed to ring true, was that when Lane Kiffin continues to talk about this stuff, he speaks as if all these things are happening to him rather than being of his own making. And especially,
right.
I think, when
yeah.
it comes to not being allowed to coach in the playoff, like, if you stayed, you were going to be allowed to coach. You're going to one of Ole Miss's top rivals. They don't want you to be around the building anymore. Like, to me, that's, like, not a wild idea, but he just could not accept that. And, you know, listen, I've talked to people close to the situation for weeks now. I knew that as soon as he made his decision, I was going to drop this pretty big story on CBS Sports of things that I've been accumulating for weeks now. And so I've been waiting for it and finally got a chance to do it. But it's been trending toward LSU for a long time. You could talk about what specifically he may or may not have done in terms of verbal agreements or otherwise, but I know that LSU was extremely confident the whole way through. But the one hang up for Lane was that he wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted to coach in the playoff. And we saw people on game day making the argument for him. We saw him try to do it on social media. And even up until the very end, I was told that he thought he was going to win. He, you know, told the Ole Miss administration on Saturday night officially, "I'm leaving for LSU." They told him, "Okay, we're moving on. You're not coaching the team in the playoff." He did not accept that. He was in the building the next day, still pushing, still believing that he was going to find a way to win out and coach that team. That included, from what I was told, making threats to the Ole Miss administration that if they did not allow him to coach in the playoffs, he was going to take the entire offensive staff with him to LSU immediately to kind of put them in an even harder position moving forward. And I was told that players confronted him about that. He did not admit to it. He said essentially, like, "I'm not making anyone go with me. They can do whatever they want." I think the players saw through that. And ultimately, from what I was told, multiple players were ready for it to be over. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have anyone on his side. I'm sure when you have a roster of 105 guys, there's at least one of them who's would love for Lane to continue to coach. But his stance that the team asked him to stay and coach the playoff, I have been told by multiple people who I trust, is categorically false. And I think you've even seen in the last 24 hours, multiple Ole Miss players publicly with their names on it, pushing back on that narrative on social media and otherwise. So he played the card he thought he had to play. But I can tell you from spending a couple of days in Oxford recently, the people in Oxford at Ole Miss would tell you it is very different than how Lane has been presenting it publicly.
That is not a surprise whatsoever. I don't begrudge Lane for taking the cash. And let's be real. Shout out to Oxford. LSU's a better job.
It's a better job.
Like, it's a better job.
I mean, can't get mad at him for moving.
No, but he loves to try to play the victim, and
he does that,
far from the victim.
But college football, that's what it is. Everybody's looking for the bigger paycheck.
How do you think it will go for Lane in Baton Rouge?
You know, it's so interesting. I am actually a believer in Lane. I like Lane. I mean, I think he is portended and portrayed himself very poorly over the last month or so. And, you know, I think he has done a real damage to himself, especially he has worked very hard from a PR standpoint to show that he has changed. And I think he has essentially imploded all of that. All of that said, I do think he's a very good football coach. We know he's a brilliant offensive mind. What he was able to accomplish at Ole Miss, I think, was incredibly impressive, especially to go 11-1 this season with a team that was picked seventh to win the SEC and ultimately has played a backup QB who a year ago was on a Division II team. Like, he's done an incredible job. I think the questions you have to ask yourself are, one, how does he handle being at a place where that is the expectation versus him overachieving? He did very well at Ole Miss at overachieving. And if you look at, I think especially 2024, a year ago, where he had the most expectations for him as a coach, what happened? They did not meet those expectations. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to Florida. I mean, I saw that team beat Georgia last year, and I came away saying, I think this is the best team in America. They had Jackson Dart, Walter Nolan, multiple guys who are in the NFL making an impact right now, and that team didn't make the playoffs. That was a collapse down the stretch once the pressure really cranked up on him. How does he handle the pressure cooker that is LSU, where they fired Brian Kelly because they want national championships? Lane Kiffin has never won an SEC championship. He's never made the playoff before this year, which he left. Never won a national championship as a head coach. So I think there are real questions as to, we know he's a very good coach. Can he be a great coach where that is the expectation, especially at a place that things can get a little chaotic, a little wild? Mm-hmm. I had someone yesterday tell me, who has worked at LSU, it's the most dysfunctional place they've ever worked when things go bad. So that, I think, will be very interesting how he handles all those aspects of things that he didn't necessarily have to face that much at Ole Miss.
Yeah, man. Louisiana's a wild place. Lastly and quickly, please, what the hell's going on with Penn State? Who are they going to get?
Can I just give, like, the Elmo Shrug meme? It's been the most chaotic search that I think I've covered in a while. Over and over again, people have told me, like, either they're going to pull somebody out last minute, and we're like, wow, they had this guy in their back pocket, or it's going to be the mess we've thought it's been the whole time. And especially after what happened yesterday, it just looks like a mess. We'll see who they can hire, but it has been about as big of a disaster as I've seen. And especially with what James Franklin's doing at Virginia Tech and how he has just robbed that Penn State recruiting class, Penn State's in a bad spot, and it's all been self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with Brian Daboll. John, thank you so much, dude. We got to check in with you once they actually start playing some playoff games.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
All right, man. Take care, John.
That's our guy, John Talty from CBS Sports. Really wired in, smart dude. You can give him a follow at JTalty, T-A-L-T-Y. Kind enough to join us via the Rude Guest Hotline. When we return, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn will address the media.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.